This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So if you can come forward, please, جزاكم الله خيرا. So we have feeling of a halaqa. So today, as it was announced before, we'll be talking about this debate that took place between Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and the sect of al-Khawarij. And the ulama, many ulama, have said that this is the first deviation or the first bid'ah, the first innovation that took place in the history of Islam. This group called al-Khawarij appeared at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and used to be labeled Abu Bakr and the rest of the Sahaba with kufr. And they were violent. So they were killing other Muslims, and they created many problems in the Muslim state at that time. And Ali radiallahu anhu had to fight with them based on the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He almost finished them, but some of them, few of them stayed, escaped death, and then they were able to spread their ideology. Now, in this document that is called Munadharat ibn Abbas al-Khawarij, the debate of ibn Abbas with al-Khawarij, they are called al-Haruriyya. So ibn Abbas would call them al-Haruriyya. Why al-Haruriyya? Because when they left the Muslim community, they went to a place called Harura, which is a place located two miles from the city of al-Kufa. So they stayed there. That was their camp. In some many resources of history, like Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, they mentioned different numbers, 12,000, 16,000. Now we are concerned with this story here, with what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said. He said, when we went to them, they were around 6,000 people. So you might study this issue and this munadhara and the history of this group and find other numbers. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, وَكَانُوا سِتَتْ أَلَفْ, they were 6,000. So he said radiallahu anhu, and this hadith is well documented in Mustadrak al-Hakim, Jami' Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlih ibn Abd al-Barr, al-Musannaf li-Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani, different sources of hadith. So he said radiallahu anhu, he is the one who narrated this hadith, this story, and told us what happened to him. He said, لما خرجت الحرورية اعتزلوا في دار على حدتهم وكانوا 6,000 فقلت لعلي يا أمير المؤمنين أبرد بالصلاة لعلي أكلم هؤلاء القوم. He said, when the Haruriyya rebelled, they secluded themselves in a place. Any place, I told you, it's called Harura. And he said himself, there were 6,000 of them, and they were united against or in rebelling against Ali radiallahu anhu. So all of them, as I said, labeled Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu with kufr, and the rest of the Sahaba with him, and they were willing to fight. They didn't actually do anything at that time. But later on, they became violent and they killed some of the Sahaba and their wives. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, on that day I came to Ali and said, O leader of the believers, delay the prayer until it is cooler. It was a recommendation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mustahab. The majority of scholars said it is mustahab, if the weather is very hot, to delay dhuhr prayer until it becomes cooler. So Ibn Abbas wanted to benefit from this rukhsa. He was keen or eager to attend Salat al-Jama'ah. So he asked the leader of the believers, at that time Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali, to delay the jama'ah, dhuhr prayer, so he can go to these people, talk to them, have a debate with them, then come back, and then attend the Salat al-Jama'ah, Salat al-Dhuhr with the Muslimin. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, إِنِّي أَخَافُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, verily I fear for you. So Ali radiallahu anhu was concerned about his safety. So he said, كَلَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي رَجُلٌ عُرِفْتُ بِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ وَلَمْ أُوذِي أَحَدًا. So Ibn Abbas, he said, never, I used to be known as a man of good manners, I never hurt anyone, I never harmed anyone. So he said, he gave me permission Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu gave him permission, told him, go, we will delay the prayer for your sake. It was okay, as I said, it was one of the recommendations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It seemed like it was summertime, it was very hot at the time, Iraq, yani the weather could reach like the 50 degrees, 60 degrees in that area. So he said, I put on very nice garment. And he did it for a reason. Ibn Abbas here, he's planning for his debate now. He said, I put on a very nice garment, the best of one of what one could get from Yemen. At that time, Yemeni clothing were very famous, very fancy at that time. And I said, I combed my hair, and I visited them at midday while they were eating. So he said, I greeted them. And we assume that he said, Assalamu alaikum, greeted them with a greeting of Islam, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So they said, Marhaban, Ibn Abbas. That was their response. Welcome, O Ibn Abbas. What is the cloak that you are wearing? Look at their reaction. He said, I put on a nice garment, right? Now they are objecting to it. What is this cloak you are wearing? So Ibn Abbas said, مَا تَعِيبُونَ عَلَيَّ What deficiency do you see in me? لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحْسَنَ مَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْحُلَلِ He said, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dressed in the best of what you can find from Yemeni clothing. That was his answer. And then he supported his answer with the ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, say, who has forbidden the adornment of Allah, which He has produced for His servants, and the good things of provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced for His servant many things that are good, and it's not haram to benefit from them or use them as long as they are halal. But they were not happy with his dress. And we'll talk about these fawaid, the benefits of this, you know, debate at the end, inshaAllah. So, قَالُوا فَمَا جَاءَ بِكَ What has brought you here? That was their question. Then, look at his answer. أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ He said, I came to you from amongst the companions of the Prophet, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. He's reminding them about the position of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وَمِنْ عِنْدِ بْنِ عَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ And from the cousin of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَصِهْرِهِ يعني, And he's, who is his son-in-law. عَلَيْهِمْ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنِ The Qur'an has descended upon them. The Qur'an was not revealed to the Sahaba, it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they lived with him. They had first-hand experience with the Qur'an. Because they used to witness, you know, and look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talk to him when the wahi, when the Qur'an was revealed to him, and they used to learn from him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. فَهُمْ أَعْلَمُوا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ مِنْكُمْ He told them, they are more knowledgeable about it than you. And there is not one of them amongst you. No one of the Sahaba, the Muhajirin of the Ansar, is amongst you. I have come to convey to you what they say and to convey to them what you say. So, فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ And in one of the versions, in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah, I think he was screaming. He said, لَا تُخَاصِمُوا قُرَيْشًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولْ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ So one of them, he said, do not debate with Quraysh, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, nay, but they are a quarrelsome people, they are prone to dispute, people who like to have disputes and arguments. And of course, this ayah was revealed about the kuffar of Quraysh, who used to have argument and dispute with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas here, he's a Muslim, he's a great scholar of Islam who came to them, to invite them to come back to the truth. So, and then Ibn Abbas was very fair. He told us about some of their qualities. He said, ما أتيت قوما قط أشد اجتهادا منهم مساهمة وجوههم من السهر كأن أيديهم وركبهم تثني عليهم. He said, I had entered upon a people the likes of whom I have never seen with regards to their exertion in ibadah, and exertion in worship. He said, their foreheads were wounded due to constant prostration. So they had marks on their faces because of their ibadah. And this is very important, Ikhwan. Because we need to know the right methodology, how to learn about the truth, and to know actually who is in the right path or who is not. What are the qualities? What are the requirements? So he said, their foreheads were wounded due to constant prostration, and their hands had become like rough, had become rough like camel's feet. So some of them said, so the guy said, do not have any dispute with this guy, do not talk to him, he's from Quraysh, and Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, بَلْهُمْ قَوْمٌ خَسِمُونَ. Nay, but they are, you know, quarrelsome people. But some of them, they said, no, verily we will talk to him, and we will listen to him. So they decided, some of them decided to talk to him and listen to him, radiallahu anhu. Then the first question he asked, قَالْ هَاتُوا مَا نَقِمْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰهِ سَلَّمُ وَابْنِ عَمِّهِ. He said, the first question he said, verily, or he said, come forward, what is the grudge that you have against the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ and his cousin Ali? They answered 3 points we have. So these are the points of conflict. And I ask, what are they? مَا هُنَّ. So they said, أَمَّا الْأُولَى إِحْدَاهُنَّ فَقَإِنَّهُ حَكَّمَ الرِّجَالَ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وقال الله إن الحكم إلا لله. So they are using Quran now to justify their ideology or their rebellion. إن الحكم إلا لله ما شأن الرجال والحكم. So they said one of them, the first point, he used man to judge in a matter that belongs only to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الحكم إلا لله, this is in Surah Al-An'am, the judgment is for none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When did he use man to judge in a matter that belonged to Allah in their view, in their understanding? After there was a conflict between him and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba, Ali and Muawiyah, and the two groups wanted to settle the matter, the dispute. So what happened? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu chose Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu chose Amr ibn al-As to make a judgment, to talk and have a debate, sit down together and pass a judgment upon the dispute that was between Muawiyah and Ali. What was the source or the origin of this dispute? After Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated, Ali radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. Muawiyah, he said, before you take the position of Khilafah, let's deal with the criminals who killed Uthman. Ali ibn Abi Talib had a different opinion. He said, no, let's establish the Khilafah and everything should settle down and then we deal with them. So that was, it was a dispute about timing, right? But then it got bigger and bigger because those who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu, they were in between and they were spreading fitna. So the fitna was not caused by the Sahaba, it was caused by those who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they were not among the Sahaba. They were people who belonged to the second generation. Our people who did not meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not live with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they were not Sahaba. So here, Ali radiallahu anhu accepted the judgment of humans. That was their problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. This is very important because we will know, inshallah, learn how people use the Quran in the wrong context. Using the dalil, the evidence, in the wrong context. So here, they said, what have man got to do with the judgment? The judgment belongs to Allah. Ali ibn Abi Talib, of course, before tried to explain this to them, in the Masjid of Al-Kufa, he brought a Mus'haf in front of them. They were in the Masjid with the Muslims. And he said, O Mus'haf, we're talking to the Mus'haf, O Mus'haf, tell us about the judgment. He was touching the Mus'haf with his hand. And then they didn't accept his argument. The argument is very clear here that the Mus'haf does not talk. Because this is a very obvious matter that ulama have to come to the Book of Allah, derive the rulings from the Book of Allah. The Mus'haf does not talk. If we bring a Mus'haf now, it doesn't tell us about the ruling if we talk about any mas'ala. This is obvious, right? But that was their argument. That was their argument. So they said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لَهُ. So he said, this is one point. هَذِهِ الْأُولَى. وَقَالُوا وَأَمَّا الثَّانِيَةِ فَإِنَّهُ قَاتَلَ وَلَمْ يَسْبِي وَلَمْ يَغْنَمْ إِنْ كَانُوا كُفَّارًا لَقَدْ حَلَّ سَبْيُهُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ مَا حَلَّ سَبْيُهُمْ وَلَا قِتَالُهُمْ. The second point, they said, as for the second point, then he fought and he did not take captives, nor did he take the war booty. If they were disbelievers, then their captives are permissible for us. If they were believers, then their captives are neither permissible for to take, nor was it permissible for us to fight them in the first place. Here, they were talking about the fight that took place between Ali and another group of Muslims, Sahaba, Talha, and Zubair, and among them was Aisha radiallahu anha. Those people also had a problem. This is the first civil war in the history of Islam. They had a problem with the killing of Uthman, the assassination of Uthman, the same point that Muawiyah had, that we have to deal with the criminals, those who killed Uthman, before we give you a bay'ah pledge of khilafah. So, but the Sahaba, when they came to Al-Basra, the city of Al-Basra, and Aisha was one of them, radiallahu anha, they talked to Ali, and then they decided to solve their problems in a peaceful way, right? They almost had an agreement. But at night time, those who killed Uthman were in between. They ignited fire in the tents of the other one of the camps. Because they said if the two groups agreed and they settled their disputes, then they will take care of us, those who killed Uthman. So at night time, you know, they set fire in one of the camps, and then the other group thought that the other people are fighting with them, and the other group thought that the first group is fighting with them, and there was a fight, and many people were killed. So they said here, you fought with these people, you should have taken, captives. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, this is the second point. What is the third point? قالوا محا نفسه من أمير المؤمنين. يعني he gave up the title of أمير المؤمنين. Because when he decided to have his dispute settled with Muawiyah, he gave up at that moment the title of أمير المؤمنين, the position. And then they allowed Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to settle the matter. So they said, look at this white and black mentality. They said here, he gave up this title of Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers. If he's not the leader of the believers, then he should be the leader of the disbelievers. That was their third point. Black and white. That's it. There is no third option. So, and then he, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, do you have any points other than these? And here I want you to pay attention to Ibn Abbas' skills. The skills of his debate. He was a great debater. Very professional, radiallahu anhu. Great scholar, radiallahu anhu. So they said, no, these are sufficient for us. So because he wanted to locate the area of dispute or argument. So we're talking about these three points. That's it. We're not talking about something else. Are you fine? Are you happy? We'll be talking about these three points. He said, yes, these are sufficient for us. Then, قَالَ لَهُمْ قُلْتُ لَهُمْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ إِنْ قَرَأْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا يَرُدُّ قَوْلَكُمْ أَتَرْجِعُونَ. He said, do you think if I read to you, or do you understand if I read to you from the book of Allah, the Quran, and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that which refutes that or what you say, will you return back? يعني come back to the Sunnah, the Jama'ah, the Muslim community. You come back to the Khilafah and to the Muslim community. They said yes. The people who were talking to him. So he said, رضي الله عنه, he start now, dealing with their shubah, with these points. يعني. He said, as for your statement that Ali had used man to judge in a matter that was for Allah, then I will read to you from the book of Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delegated his judgment to man regarding the price of a rabbit, the price of a small animal, the value of a rabbit, which is a quarter of dirham, which is nowadays around $5. $5. Yani if you look at the value of gold and silver these days, it's around equivalent to $5. So, and then he mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ وأنتم ومن قتله منكم متعمدا فجزاء مثل ما قتل من النعم يحكم به ذوى عدل منكم. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, oh, you who have believed, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. Because when they used to hunt, and the animal could be a deer, could be a rabbit, could be a bird. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not kill animals while you are in the state of ihram. And he said, if this happens, whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an equivalent from sacrificial animals to what he killed, judged by two just men among you. So two people from the community, people of knowledge, have to make a judgment about the penalty of this man or this Sahabi or this Muslim who killed an animal while in the state of ihram. So, and he told them, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to give us the judgment, he would have given us the judgment. But he left it to man. He said, two people from your community, people of knowledge, would make judgment about the penalty for this man or this woman who killed an animal while in the state of ihram. So, and then he said, I ask you by the name of Allah. So he was reminding them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their relationship with him. I ask you by the name of Allah. Is not men judging in reconciling between Muslims and preventing bloodshed better than two men judging regarding the value of a rabbit? And they said, no, the first one is better. Because here, two people like Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari were judging regarding a very important matter. They were trying to prevent bloodshed and making reconciliation between Muslims, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has allowed man to judge regarding, two people to judge regarding the value of a rabbit or a deer or a bird, an animal. So which one is better? So they said, yes, the first one is better. And then he mentioned another ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when khiftum shiqaqa baynihima fab'athu hakaman min ahlihi wa hakaman min ahla. Talking about marital disputes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, he said, if you fear a breach between them, husband and wife, then appoint two arbitrators, one of them from his family, the other one from her family. And these two people are supposed to come and look into the dispute between husband and wife and make a judgment. So he asked them again, I ask you by the name of Allah, is not man judging and reconciling dispute between Muslims and for the sake of preventing bloodshed better, or this matter that was allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Muslims to have two people from her family and his family to judge regarding a matter that has not the same importance of this, the matter, the dispute between, or the conflict between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah. So they said, yes, actually the first one is better. طيب, he said, أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ. Have we finished with this? They wanted to make sure that they are happy now with the answer. أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِي. Have we finished with this? They replied, yes. So we are done with the first point now. And the second point, he said, أما قولكم قاتل ولم يسبي ولم يغنم أفتسبون أمكم عائشة. So he said, as for your statement, he fought but he did not take captives, did not take war booty, then would you take your mother in Islam? Because the wives of our Prophet are the mothers of the believers. Do you take your mother in Islam, Aisha, as a captive? If you say yes, it was permissible for us to take her as a captive, then you have committed disbelief. That was his statement, radiallahu anhu. And if you say she is not our mother, then he said you have also committed disbelief. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, you go against the ayah of the Quran, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet is closer to the believer than their own selves, and his wives are their mothers. If you say she is not our mother, then you have committed disbelief, because this is clear ayah from the Quran that she is your mother. Then here, they said they looked at each other, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِهِ. Have we finished with this? They said, yes. Okay. And then the third one, he said, as for Ali radiallahu anhu, removing the title of leader of the believers, he said, I will give you something that will please you. Rasulullah ﷺ, who is better than Ali, when he signed the peace treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, he said he removed from the treaty or the agreement his title of Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah. Because he made a treaty with Suhail ibn Amr and Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. And Abu Suhail ibn Amr was sitting there when they were sitting down, Muslims and non-Muslims, and they were signing this agreement. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was the scribe. He's the one who wrote this agreement. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, write, O Ali, this is what the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, agrees with. And then the kuffar, or Suhail ibn Amr, he said, if we, إِذَا يَعْنِي لَوْ عَلِمْنَا أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَمَا قَاتَلْنَاكَ. He said, if we know you to be the Messenger of Allah, we would not have fought with you. That was the answer of Amr ibn Suhail. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, اللهم إنك تعلم أني رسولك. اللهم إنك تعلم أني رسول الله. Oh Allah, you know that I am your messenger. So he asked Ali to remove the title from the agreement, the Messenger of Allah. And he told him, write, هذا ما صالح عليه محمد بن عبد الله. This is what Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, agrees with. And Ali radiallahu anhu refused. He said, no, I'm not going to erase your title. I'm not going to do it. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, was an illiterate man. He didn't know how to write and read. So he said, show it to me. And he showed it, Ali showed it to him, and he erased it by himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I swear by Allah, telling them that the Messenger of Allah is better than Ali. And even he erased his own title. And erasing his title does not erase his prophethood, does not make him not prophet. It doesn't make any difference. So, at the end he said, أَخَرَجْتُ مِنْ هَذِي. Have we finished with this? And then they said, yes. So in the hadith, all of the riwayat, the narrations of this, versions of this hadith, they said around 2,000 people, 2,000 from them came back to the Muslim community, and 4,000 stayed on their ideology, on their path, and the Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was forced actually to fight with them. Because he said, we are not going to fight with you, we are not going to ban you from the masajid until you fight with us. And he was sure, he was confident that they will start the fighting, and this is what happened. They killed some of the Sahabas, and there was a big fight, big ma'raka, in the area called Nahrawan. Now here, by looking at this great debate, Ya Akhwan, we want to benefit from it. The ulama, they said, many ulama have talked about this debate. They said, you know, the students of knowledge and the ulama and du'at, who follow the Quran and Sunnah should have a strong desire to guide members of other group and bring them back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he had some knowledge. Of course, he was a great scholar. And he was like eager to guide them, to bring them back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his debate was carefully planned. Yani the way he dressed and when he combed his hair. He knew that they will object to it. So he was trying his best to actually make throw some doubts in their minds about their own ideology and the way they are dealing with the Quran, the ayat of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second point, the ulama, they said the importance, this debate shows the importance of shura. Ibn Abbas did not decide by himself. He didn't say, okay, let's go, I'll go and talk to them. No, he made mashura with Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the leader of the believers at that time. So they said the ulama and the leaders in the community have to always make mashura and make shura between them, talk to each other, and come up with the right conclusion, inshaAllah. And the third point is, the ulama talked about the permissibility of having debates with people of innovation. And it could be mandatory sometimes if there are some expected good outcomes or desired, goals to be achieved. Some people don't like to have any debate, to be engaged in any debate, that's fine. But ulama and people who have knowledge are supposed to use this knowledge to have debates with those people who are following any deviated ideology. The ulama also talked about the importance of planning for your debate or da'wah activity. So as I said, Ibn Abbas put on the best clothes on purpose, because he said, with the intention of attracting their attention, he knew that they will object to it, and he will just give them, he wanted to shake their beliefs and diminish their pride, right? By telling them, reminding them about the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf and the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he saw Rasulullah ﷺ dressed in the best of what you can find of Yemeni clothing. That was, it's not haram to be dressed in a good garment. It's not haram. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it permissible. The ulama, they said, among the point also, they said, in the field of da'wah, or when having a debate, one needs to establish a common ground with the opponents. So before you start your debate and start talking and explaining your arguments, you have to prepare, establish a common ground. So here Ibn Abbas in this case reminded them about the authority before he answered their questions, reminded them about the authority of the Quran and the authority of the Sunnah, and that the best people who understood the Quran and the Sahaba, because they lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran descended upon them. They have first-hand experience with the Quran. So you cannot have a better knowledge than them. You can't. It's impossible. They lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So actually he is reminding them here about the right methodology when it comes to deriving matters, rulings from the Quran and the Sunnah. You go back to the understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And they agreed. They didn't actually disagree with this point. Because Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them. Like مثلا in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Muhajirun as Sadiqun, truthful, people of truthfulness. And described Al-Ansar as people of success, Al-Muflihun. طيب. And he said, no one among them is with you. So again, he's trying to shake their beliefs in their ideology that, if there is some goodness in your ideology, at least some of them would have joined you. Now, no one among the Sahaba is with you now, or has shown any support for your cause. The one of the benefits, they said, we learn from the debates, this debate, that people of innovation may use evidence from the Quran and Sunnah in the wrong context. So they use the ayah in Surah Az-Zukhruf, بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ. that was revealed about the kuffar of Quraysh against Ibn Abbas, who is the cousin of Rasulullah ﷺ, a great scholar. Rasulullah ﷺ made dua for him, Allahumma faqqihu fi al-din wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. Allah, oh Allah, bless him with the fiqh, the understanding of the deen, and teach him the interpretation or the tafsir of the Quran. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But they used this ayah against him. And they used, in al-hukmu illa lillah, judgment is for none but Allah, in the wrong context. Actually, Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he brought the mushaf in front of them in the Masjid of al-Kufa, and he was telling them, talking to the mushaf, and say, oh mushaf, tell us about the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't like his argument. They stood up, some of them, in the masjid, and they start shouting and saying, in al-hukmu illa lillah. So he said, kalimatu haqqin urida biha batil. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he said, it is a true statement that is used in the wrong context or used to endorse falsehood. This is a very famous statement that the ulama said, kalimatu haqqin urida biha batil. And here, many people who don't have knowledge become confused when someone used something that is haqq, but to support something, to support a deviation or support falsehood. And there are many people who are good at this. It is haqq. The evidence is from the Quran and the Sunnah, but it is used in the wrong way. And here some people become confused, right? Like here we've got 6,000 people who just, you know, got this, you know, points, and some of them are obvious. Yani the Quran will not talk and tell us about the ahkam of Allah. People who will come to the Quran and the Sunnah and derive the rulings of Allah. You think that this is obvious, but subhanallah. And one of the benefits here, the ulama, they said, appearances can be very deceiving. And increased acts of worship are not enough for the person to be classified as someone who follows the right guidance. Yani if someone is praying Qiyam al-Layl and fasting every Thursday and Monday, Mondays and Thursdays, and giving sadaqah, these are acts of worship. They said, ulama, these acts of worship are not enough for the person to be classified as someone who is following al-hidayah, the right guidance. And there are actually many people who look at this appearance, مثلاً of their shuyukh, and then follow them just because of their appearance. They might have a long beard, wearing a long robe, and, you know, praying, offering Qiyam al-Layl, and having مثلاً misbaha. They will look at their appearance and will say, wow, this is a great man, we should follow him and follow his path or his way. This is not right. I mean, this is not the right way to find out about who is on the right path or who is not. So the ulama, they said, actually the right guidance is based on two things: right knowledge and appropriate action. You have to have ilm first, right knowledge, the right understanding. And then appropriate action. Appropriate action is al-amal salih, that has two requirements: the good intention and niyyah salihah, and also following the sunnah, or following what is right, and it goes back to right knowledge. They are combined together. So ibadat, acts of ibadat by themselves, are not enough. And here Ibn Abbas said, I have entered upon a people the likes of whom I have never seen. We're talking about a sahabi here. About someone who lived with Rasulullah ﷺ. He was Turjuman al-Qur'an, Habrul Ummah. He is a great scholar. The Sahaba had a great relationship with Allah. And then yet, why? Because Rasulullah ﷺ actually said about them, تحقيرون, he was talking to the Sahaba, تحقيرون صلاتكم إلى صلاتهم. He said, you will reduce, or you will belittle your prayer when compared with their prayers. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will be, he described them in a different hadith, and this is hadith sahih, that they are kilab al-nar, the dogs of hellfire. It's a very strong statement, but this hadith is sahih. Abu Umama is the one who narrated this hadith. He saw them killed in Damascus, in the street of Damascus, and he said, you know, these people were Muslims, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them that they are kilab al-nar. So, you know, here, this ibadat are not very beneficial, if the right understanding, right knowledge is not there. One of the benefits, one of the good points here, the ulama, they said we should never lose hope about those who follow the deviated ideology. Some of them could be sincere, looking for the truth, and when it is well explained to them, they might come back to the deen, might come back to the true ideology, wallahu ta'ala. And the last point here, point number 9, the ulama, they said, our debates should be well organized. Yeah, you cannot talk about different issues in the same session, in the same gathering. Sit down with someone and have a debate with him, and you talk about 100 mas'ala. It will not be beneficial. You will not reach any conclusion. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu did not want to talk about many issues. He was satisfied with 3 points. He thought that these three are important for them. So he didn't ask for any other point. He said, you are satisfied with these points? Khalas, let's talk about this point. There's point of conflict. And then he asked them, do you have any other point? He wanted to make sure that we'll be talking about only this, because there are people who like to argue when they are talking to you, and having a debate with you, they like to jump into other issues and then make you confused. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wanted to make sure that we will be in this debate, inshallah, organized, and we will be able to reach a good conclusion. Otherwise, the debate will turn into a useless, dispute. One of the benefits, the ulama, they said, we shouldn't mock the opponents or ridicule them. Ibn Abbas did not try to hurt them or harm them in any way. He didn't say, you guys are stupid, you have baseless arguments. He didn't use this language at all. Bil'aks, yani when he came back and he narrated, he was very fair with them. He mentioned the good things that he saw with them. And when talking to them, you understand from the conversation that he was very calm. Even though when they objected about his dress, he was not like offended. He just defended his point. And he wanted to show them that your knowledge about the Qur'an is very limited, because this is a clear ayah in the Qur'an that says it's halal to wear, the best clothes. So treating them with respect may encourage some of them to listen, and then they may come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is something important, another point that some scholars have mentioned. Many du'at and many people involved in da'wah or activism would sometimes have some gatherings, important gatherings or programs, and they forget about Salat al-Jama'ah. Yani Salat al-Jama'ah is not part of their schedule. Here, pay attention, I want you to pay attention to the behavior of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Why did he ask Ali ibn Abi Talib to delay Salat al-Dhuhr? Because he wanted to attend Salat al-Dhuhr. Look at the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah. So he was concerned about attending Salat al-Dhuhr with the Jama'ah. He wanted at the same time to go and have a debate with these people, but he didn't want to miss Salat al-Jama'ah, even though he thought this is a very important issue. And actually he saved 2,000. 2,000 of them were saved because of his debate. There were 6,000, so 2,000 of them came back to the Muslim community. It's a great achievement, right? But even though he didn't say, no, this is a great task, it's okay if I miss Salat al-Jama'ah for this sake. No, he was concerned about Salat al-Jama'ah, so he said, Ali, please, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, delay Salat al-Dhuhr. Jazakum Allahu khayran, barakallahu fikum.